We're going to be finishing up Philippians today, so turn to Philippians 4 from last week. 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And all the way through the next verses, sets of verses, he uses these all-encompassing words. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't be anxious about anything, and everything pray. The peace that surpasses all understanding, all these huge encompassing words, knowing full well that God alone can provide that vast amount of support and guidance. All that we have comes from God. So in everything pray. Don't be anxious about anything, period. And it's only through God's power that we can hope to possibly come close to achieving that. And so he says, in everything pray. Don't be anxious about anything. Our first response as Christians should be prayer. Not talk about it, not dawdle over it first and then go ask God's blessing, but our first response should be prayer in all situations. And it is that prayer that gives us the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds against anxiety. His peace supplants anxiety in our hearts and minds. And then as we wound up last week, we were looking at this list that he gives us to meditate on. Everything that's true and noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. He says, meditate on these things. Keep them in the forefront of your thoughts and lives. Keep these things, the perfect gifts from God. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So then if that's the case, then the antithesis list of these have to be from below. And so he says, meditate on the true and noble things, the things of God. And then our question was, what is it that we surround ourselves with most of the time? Because that is what we are going to take on the characteristics of. If most of our week is spent in the second list, it depends on what we watch, what we read, what we hear, what music, what conversations, who we surround ourselves with. We are going to take on those characteristics. Which list is it? The things from above or the things from below? That's why he says, you meditate on these things of God. And also what this does, when we meditate on the things of God, the Word of God, His truth, His righteousness, all those things of God, it helps us to discern what is not that. When we hear speeches from the UN, we are able to discern deceit. We are able to discern evil. So if we are meditating on what is true and noble and praiseworthy, then we recognize the contrast of that more easily. If we are spending most of our time in the second list, then we may not catch the lies and deceit. Okay? Because that's what we are surrounding ourselves with. So what do we meditate on? What do we surround ourselves with? Finally, the last few verses, starting with verse 10 through 13, verse 10 for sure, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So he's saying, your gifts have arrived. And what gifts he's talking about is in verse 14. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account, that account of eternity. What is it that your crowns are being stored up for? That is what is being credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And he says, then I promise that my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So these were gifts that were sent from the church of Philippi by way of Epaphroditus, who was sent to help Paul while he was in prison. And Paul says they were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, because they served to further his word through Paul. Paul expresses his gratitude and then promises them, God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What are God's glorious riches? They are infinite. God's riches not only include all creation, all that is seen, all that is physical, but also God's riches include all that is unseen. God is love. God is righteousness. God is truth. God is salvation. His riches include all those things. He is all those things. So what riches are, is he saying that God is going to supply our needs out of, according to this total ownership of all things? God will meet all your needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, eternal. Specifically, these needs will be met through Christ Jesus. And what does that involve? Let's turn to Colossians, just a couple pages over to the right. Colossians 1:16. This is Jesus. It says, "For by him all things were created, all things, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So what riches are in Christ Jesus? Everything. Everything that exists, whether seen or unseen, are in Christ Jesus. So what riches is God supplying us according to? And that is the entire creation. Everything that is, God is meeting our needs according to those riches. Now, a few years ago when Wayne Barber was here, I don't know if y'all were here or not, Wayne Barber said, it's different. He did not say that he is going to meet their needs out of his riches. He said, according to his riches. He said, that's very different. He said, if he had said, he's going to meet your needs out of his riches, that meant that he was going to take a portion out of his riches and supply your needs. He said, no. It's far more than that. It is according to the infinite riches of God through Jesus Christ that he's going to supply your needs. So then you got to ask, well, what need of mine cannot be met through God's glorious riches then? See, we sell God short. And if he is meeting our needs according to those infinite riches, then there is nothing that he cannot supply. So that's what's so powerful about this. According to those riches, he will meet all your needs. That's the promise. So then he goes back in verses 11. So he's just said, you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul appreciates these gifts, but he also says, on the other hand, that it's okay. I've learned to be content with whatever I have, whether in need or in plenty. I know the secret of learning to do that. That secret is that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength to do those things. That's the secret. I can learn to live and be content with whatever I have, whatever situation I'm in, whether it's in need or in plenty. Now then, this is what's interesting, is that discontent can happen in both times of plenty and times of need. Now see, that doesn't seem quite right, because if you're in need, if you're hungry, or you're out in the cold, I can see you're discontent because, you know, you don't have your needs. But the far more insidious part of it is to have everything that you could possibly need and be discontent in abundance. Now, what's wrong with that? Why in the world would be discontent in abundance? We're just not happy. And why not? You know, what does that say about our society, our culture, that we may be one of the most discontent societies that's ever lived, and yet we are living in the most abundant society that's ever lived. What is wrong with that? Yes?
Well, I think that a lot of in our society, if I just have this, or I got this beginning of negativity, or I need this, or someone's got a better car than me, they're always looking to say that, man, somebody got a better car than me, well, I wish I had that, without realizing the blessings that they have, and the things
that they have. So it's always looking for something else, that discontent in not having. But what happens is, whenever you're operating in that mode, it's real easy to forget the blessings that we do have. Because if we're discontent with everything, then we're really not thankful for the things that we do have. And so we can be discontent in both situations. The secret is that Christ gives us the strength to be content no matter what. He gives us that strength. Now, what happens is, if we're discontent for the things that we don't need, the luxuries of life, and if we're discontent over these luxuries to the point that we forget to be thankful for the abundant supply of our needs, what does that begin to do with our relationship with the source of all these things? What happens with our relationship with God? Huh? What's that?
It's less. It's weakened.
It's weakened. That relationship is weakened. How?
Well, we lose the gratitude.
Yeah. We begin to lose the gratitude. Because if we don't stop and think exactly what it is that our needs are and what our luxuries are, if we get to the point that we're so discontent we can't even distinguish between the two, then we get less and less thankful for the blessings and the luxuries that God has given us. Yes?
Well, you still feel like you're lacking all efforts on getting those things you think you should have. And we put everything else that really matters on the back burner, God, our families, and everything, in pursuit of whatever we think we should have.
Okay. So our focus is on the things and not the provider. Yes?
If you still feel like you're lacking when you've been given so much, then you feel like it's up to you to go get what you, quote, need.
So it must be... It must be my task to go out and get what I think I need. And so if God's not helping me do it, then why be thankful? So it's a vicious cycle that gets set up, and it's very dangerous. And that's what is happening, is that we forget to even see the distinction between our needs and our luxuries. And I've asked this before, and I haven't said it in a long time, but have you thanked God for your toaster today? Well, and that seems funny. But when we realize the things that we have that are incredible that few people in the world have, then we need to be thanking God for those little things like our toasters, because those are luxuries. Yes?
I just think that this week my mom says she thanks God every time, every morning when she gets up and adjusts her thermostat.
Yeah.
Because she remembers as a child not having central heat, you know, and what a gift that is.
That's right. And each generation of us is one step further away from that realization of, hey, we used not to have heat and air conditioning. We used to not have, you know, I wish everybody could go on a third world mission trip at least once a year. To open our eyes to realize what an incredible blessing this country has from God, not ourselves. We can boast about it, we can brag about how hard we worked as a nation, but if we forget that it is all from God, then we are walking away from Him faster than we can imagine. But when you go to Jamaica and they turn off the electricity at sundown, and you don't have electricity till the next morning, and then it takes quite a while for that water heater to heat that water back up, and there's a lot of cold showers, and you get out to the job site, and halfway through your job, the electricity goes off again. You just got to deal with it. And we get back here and we plug stuff in and it works. Is it incredible? And then we get really upset when the power gets cut off for a couple of hours because somebody hit a power pole or something. We just go nuts. Folks, that's a gift that we've taken for granted so much. Yes?
I feel like Jeremy put it in the right perspective. If you feel sorry because you don't have a new pair of shoes when you see that man that doesn't
have That's right. And it's interesting, too, to see these people that don't have new pairs of shoes or anything in Jamaica and how content they are. They're a happy people. You're going, how can that be possible? I think it was last year when Tommy did a sermon that talked about, you know, how rich we really are. And he said, you know, if you have a roof over your head, then you're more fortunate than, you know, 90% of the rest of the world, whatever it was. And you stop and think, you know, if you've got one of those boxes that plugs into the wall that in your kitchen that keeps stuff cold, we are rich. If you have a toaster that you can plug it in and put two pieces of bread in and a few minutes later they pop up brown, we're rich. If I can drive to church in a little car that's paid for, I am rich. I mean, you start looking at the contrast in our societies and what we take for granted and what we forgot to thank God for. And it's pretty sad. And then you wonder why, on top of that, why are we discontent? We need to remind ourselves of the basics. What really is a basic necessity? Then everything else is a luxury. Man. He says that he will meet your needs according to his glorious riches. What are our needs? You know, and I said this before. 10 years ago, when we went out to Craig Nursing Home, we had to make some drastic changes in our life and really look at things that were important. Guess what? For 10 years, we've lived just fine without cable and satellite TV. It's amazing. For 10 years, we've lived just fine without the features on our phones. I know that aggravates some of you because you call and want to leave a message and there's not a voicemail. There's a lot of things that when you get right down to it, you can do without just fine. We've just forgotten. We've been so used to them that you think they're necessities. No, they're not. So, I want to show you something. Look over it. 1 Timothy 6, so more pages to the right. First Timothy 6:6. Now this is kind of where some people go, you know, he quit teaching and went to meddling, but believe me, I've been meddling with my life all week long. So Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you can be godly and content, both, then you have gained a lot. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Food and clothing. Now then, what all do I have beyond food and clothing? It would take me hours to list everything that I have beyond food and clothing. That is a luxury. Now then, here's where it gets tough. What, out of everything that's on that side of the list, the luxuries, are we willing to do without? Well, if it's just food and clothing that are necessities and everything else is a luxury, what are we willing to do? What could we do without? See, you get real close to saying everything, then it gets tougher. What would you be willing to do without in order to help somebody else? Because see, the things that you say that I can't do without, that's usually going to be the barrier between you and your relationship with Christ. What do I think in my life is necessary? Well, God says I'll meet your needs. Now, if you're holding on to anything else beyond that, that's going to be a problem. It's no different than the rich young ruler. Jesus said, get rid of everything and follow me. I can't do that. Then that's what's going to be the barrier between you and Christ. Now that leaves me wide open, folks, because I've got a big long list of things I sure do enjoy. But if we can't get down to the simple basics of saying, yes, but they're all luxuries. If I had to, I can give them up. Sometimes it's healthy for us to go through that process and see what we can do without. It helps us to appreciate what God has given us more. It really does. So, we've talked about this, Brenda. Yes.
It's affected all of us.
Yes.
But in verse 17 of the same chapter, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain.
Yes.
But to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our
own. Yes. Tell the rich not to put your hope in their wealth because it's uncertain. What more... A better example could be made than this last year of our economy. And we talked about this before. If you're loaded down with credit, you better get something done with that fast. Because it's going to get worse. And if you're in that position, you need to fix it. We shouldn't be living like that. But yet that's what we are pushed to do. More and more and more is to live on credit. And here's what it boils down to. Christians living beyond their means is sinful. Now then, I'm not saying that I buy something on a loan, a house or something, but you better have the collateral or wherewithal to back that up. You should always see that as, yeah, but if it comes due early, can I handle this? Do I have the collateral to back that up? I'm not saying we should never take out a loan. There's times when it makes sense to. But what we do is take out credit that we really can't back up. That's sinful for a Christian to do. Because you are living off of someone else, and we are not supposed to do that. There are times when people get into trouble, whether things that happen to them, they can't help, medically, tragically, something else. I'm not talking about that either. Those are the people we're supposed to try to help. What I'm talking about is fairly healthy people, fairly well-to-do, that still live beyond their means. For a Christian, that is sinful. Living within our means is expected as Christians. As Christians, we should live within our means. That's the very basic expectation. But Christ took it a step further. Are we willing to purposefully choose to live beneath our means in order to have more to share with somebody else? That's the example Christ pointed to with the widow as sacrificial giving and sacrificial living. Are we willing to live beneath our means just so we can share with someone else? That's the bar that we're called to. So, if we aren't content with what we have, we can never get to the point that we can live beneath our means to share with others. We're going to have a hard time living within our means if we're not content with what we have. It's always going to be chasing it. And that's the danger. And that's what gets that barrier in our relationship with Christ. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. You get that right first and he will take care of all these other things. Sometimes they are met needs that he promises. Sometimes he gives us the blessing of these luxuries. And we need to thank him for it and realize that if they're gone tomorrow, that's okay. Just like Paul. Whether in plenty or need, I've learned to be content in all these situations. If God takes that from me tomorrow, that's okay. I can deal with it. I will be content. I want to read you some quotes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a minister in Germany, Nazi Germany, who was thrown into prison, and some of his writings are from prison. Just here's some thoughts from here. The life of discipleship can only be maintained so long as nothing is allowed to come between Christ and ourselves. Neither the law, nor personal piety, nor even the world. What is it that's coming between you and Christ? The follower of Christ is in the light only so long as he looks simply to Christ and at nothing else in the world. What comes between us and Christ? What clouds our vision of Christ? Earthly goods are given to be used, not to be collected. Hoarding is idolatry. Ouch. And see, here's the tricky part. I mean, I'm rich. I am rich beyond my wildest dreams. And so I wonder, am I hoarding? Because, see, as we plan for our future, I want to be taken care of to where I'm not a burden on society or my family or anybody. We should do that. So it's tricky knowing how much to store for our future and how much is hoarding. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I think probably some of us kind of know that cutoff point. But we should plan that we're never a burden on people if we can help it. So it's tough. And if we ask how we are to know where our hearts are, the answer is just as simple. Everything which hinders us from loving God above all things and acts as a barrier between ourselves and our obedience to Jesus is our treasure and the place where our heart is. Ouch. Earthly possessions dazzle our eyes and delude us into thinking that they can provide security and freedom from anxiety. Yet all the time, they are the very source of all anxiety. Anxiety creates its own treasures, and they in turn beget further care. Yeah, all of our technology that's supposed to help make our lives easier, yeah. Spend a lot of time maintaining that stuff, don't we? Before we start taking thought for our life, our food and clothing, our work and families, we must seek the righteousness of Christ. Seek His kingdom first. If Christ has been given us, if we are called to His discipleship, we are given all things, literally all things, according to His glorious riches which are in Christ Jesus. We are given all things. Everything that we have is from God. Everything that we are is from God, and it does not belong to us. It is passing through. It is temporary. What is it that you don't think you can turn loose of? That will be the barrier between you and Christ. Finally, these final greetings, and I save this to last because it is so incredible to think about what he is saying. These final greetings, he says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to who? Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The ones with Caesar's household. Turn back to 1:12. Chapter 1, verse 12. This is where we started. Paul says, I'm in chains. I'm in prison in Rome. I didn't think about this ahead of time. Jesus told me I was going to preach in Rome. I was looking forward to that. I didn't know it was going to be from the middle of a prison. Well, those details had to be worked out. But he says, but whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, it doesn't matter. Because in verse 12 he says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So me being in prison has actually served to advance the gospel. How? Because all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. He's saying, how else would the inner working members of the household of the Caesar himself have come to know Christ if I hadn't been in prison? Now, he says, there are saints in Caesar's household that will be with us in eternity forever because of Paul's imprisonment. Now, that is incredible. So again, and I want you to remember, again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. That's why he says, all the saints with me. You are a saint. It is not just those who are canonized by an earthly church. Men do not appoint saints. Christ creates them. Don't ever forget that. Anytime you hear of someone working their way through the levels of sainthood, that is a lie. Christ has created these saints, not man. Okay? Just get that straight. We forget that sometimes. Especially those of Caesar's household, he says. They are saints now because of my chains, because of the fact that I was put into prison. Now we have people that might not have ever been reached that are going to be in heaven with us for eternity. That is the joy above the fray. He says, in all these things. So going back through all the things that he has said in Philippians, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, whether Christ is preached by false or true motives, whether in life or my death, whether I see you or just hear about you, church at Philippi, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm in plenty or in need, it doesn't matter. God is working together toward the good for those of us who love him. And if we believe that as Christians, we can have joy above any circumstance that comes along. When Jesus Christ says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world, then I can truthfully look at my life and say, then what part of my tribulations has Christ not overcome? Nothing. He has done it all. So no matter what I come up against, he has overcome it. And I can have joy above the fray. Pretty powerful. Any questions or comments? Let's have a word. Our Almighty God, we thank you so much for everything that we are, everything that we have. We know it is a gift from you. Every single thing is a gift from you, the great provider, who provides everything according to the riches found in your Son, which is encompassing of infinite value, infinite mercy, infinite everything that is in the world. That is your glorious riches. We thank you for that. God, we are so sorry when we forget to thank you for the luxuries and the blessings that we have in our life. All the things that come from you is a gift. God, I thank you so much that you have given us this joy that's above the fray through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we know that we literally have all things through knowing him. Help us to keep every barrier that comes up in our lives between our heart and you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.